Holy Spirit, you are here tonight in this place. Tonight we pray that this message will enter into us, and Holy Spirit, you will apply all of this in our lives. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen. You may be seated around the church tonight. Hallelujah. Tonight we're going to start in the Gospel of John, chapter 14, where Jesus says the following, verses 16 through 18. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knows him. But you see him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. When we use the word comfort, it's usually attached to someone who is going through hard times, and we want to show our love, our care for the person. Or as one famous politician once said, to let people know we feel their pain. And we, as people, we want to be a comfort to others in their hour of need. There is absolutely nothing wrong with that. But tonight I want to introduce you to the Comforter, the one who will help you out in your hour of need. Not just feeling your pain. Not just helping you deal with your pain. But being the one who will solve your pain. Who will make it go away. Who will deal with the hard times in your life. And will bring you through to victory. Jesus said, I will send another Comforter. In verse 26, it's very clear who this Comforter is. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. So who is this one who will help us in hard times? Who is the one who will give us the victory in hard seasons? His name is the Holy Ghost. Jesus asked the Father to send him. The Father did send him. Why? So he could be with us and help us through all difficult situations. For how long? It said in the verses we read earlier, it said what? I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. It also says what? Abide with you forever. So I'm talking tonight about a Comforter who's going to be with you, not just tonight, and not just when you walk out the door. But this Comforter will be with you forever. He will not leave you. He will not forsake you. This Comforter will be with you at all times. Tonight, as Christians, we should rejoice. We should celebrate. Why? Because Jesus did go to the right hand of the Father. And Jesus did ask to send down another comforter, the Holy Spirit. And the Father, He did just that. Why? So we could have someone who could help us in this life, not just in the good times, but to help us in the difficult seasons, to help us when things are not going well. The Holy Ghost, yes, He is for us and with us and helps us in the good times, but more importantly, He is the one who is with us, who will help us and will bring us to victory in the bad times. Can I get a shout of praise in the house of the Lord? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Tonight we're talking about a Holy Ghost lifestyle. Why? Because the Holy Ghost is inside of you. And He will not leave you. Do not let the enemy try to fool you. The Holy Ghost is in there from the moment you believe, and He is going to be there moment after moment, day after day. Rough time after rough time. He is just saying, I am here. Depend on me. The Father sent me. Jesus asked me to be here to help you right now. I want to help you live a Holy Ghost lifestyle, a Pentecostal lifestyle. What's a Pentecostal lifestyle? It's not one judged by the law. It's one judged by following the leading and the guiding of the Spirit. Follow with me to the book of Mark. The book of Mark. Chapter 4. What we're going to be looking at is when one is being led by the Spirit. We will see all the good traits that come into being. Each of these accounts, they start with something bad, but they wind up being victorious every single time. In the book of Mark, chapter 4, in verse 35, Jesus starts, "Let us pass over unto the other side." Verse 36. "And when they had sent away the multitude, they took Him even as He was in the ship." So where is Jesus? He's in the ship. Who do you want by your side in hard times? Jesus. Well, that was then. What about now? I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. The Holy Ghost inside of you. Jesus is with you 24/7, 365 days of the year through your lifetime, because the Holy Spirit is inside of you. Jesus is inside of you. He will not leave you. He will not forsake you. He will be with you in good times, and He will bring you out of bad times. Are we still here? Don't shout me down tonight. Let's keep going. "And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full." So what do we see? A storm. Even with Jesus in the boat, the storm raged. The wind blew. The disciples, the sailors of the ship, especially Peter, James, John, the expert seamen, what happens? They begin to give into panic. Oh no, we're going to die. The storm is getting the best of us. Where's Jesus? Where was Jesus? Was Jesus giving into panic? Absolutely not. Where was He? In the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. Why could Jesus be asleep on a pillow? Because He knows no storm is going to stop Him from fulfilling His mission. He knows that he is going to be overcoming, victorious. Therefore, he does not have to give in to panic. He does not have to give in to fear. Because he, as the Son of God, he is going to bring victory. So why can we be victorious in a situation like that? With God is for us, who can be against us? Oh, storms might come. Wind might howl. But Jesus being inside of us through the Holy Ghost, no storm in this world is going to bring us down. Why? Because a storm can't bring Jesus down. And with Jesus inside of you, the storm can't bring you down either. Are we still here? Let's keep going. Jesus, he's in the back of the ship. He's asleep with his comfortable pillow. The disciples in panic mode. Master, can you not that we perish? Don't you care? That was a cruel thing to say. You don't care. You would rather us be out here facing this storm alone. But what did Jesus do? He arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." Let's look at what's happening here. The storm is raging. Jesus speaks to the storm. What happens? Great calm. As in the storm stops. Yes, the storms of life might come against you, but Jesus is inside of you. And when, with the faith of Jesus inside of us, we rise up, that faith, that Holy Spirit inside of us will bring us to the victory where we will change from storm to calm. You see, one of the first traits of being a Pentecostal lifestyle is going to be calm. The storm will end, but the calm will come. And not even that. Who was the one who was calm during the storm? The one who had the Holy Spirit without measure. He was the one who was calm. Was the disciples calm? They didn't have the Holy Ghost at that moment. But Jesus did. He was calm. How do I know? Look at Peter. When he was in jail, not once but twice in the book of Acts. How calm was he? He was asleep both times the jailbreak happened. When the Holy Ghost inside of you, yeah, the storms will come. But we can be calm in the midst of them. Not only that, but what else do we see? Jesus saying, "Peace, be still." You see, for the disciples, prior to this moment, it was panic. It was fear. Yet what did Jesus say? Peace. Not only did the storm end, but the panic inside the disciples ended. You see, when the Spirit is operating, the fear will end and will be replaced by peace. Are we still here? So what do we see? The believer, with the Holy Ghost operating, he will go from storm to calm. He will go to conflict to peace. He will go to panic to faith. Why? Because the Spirit is inside of us. Because Jesus gave us of His Spirit. We can be like Jesus was during this storm. Instead of being like the disciples were during this storm, we have Jesus through the Holy Spirit inside of us. We don't have to give in to fear. We don't have to give in to the storm. We don't have to give in to panic. We can be calm. We can be at peace. And we can have faith rising up within us because the Jesus who brings calm, peace, and faith is inside of us through the Holy Spirit. Are we still here? Hallelujah. Let's go to chapter 5 for a moment. Chapter begins with Jesus. Now on the other side, in the land of the Gadarenes. Now, who is the one who has the Spirit inside of him? Jesus. Who is the one giving us of the Spirit? Jesus. So this is all going to work together. When Jesus arrives, a man full of demons approached Jesus. Now the word describes that this community, they tried to put the guy in shackles and chains. But they were unable to do so because the guy kept breaking them. The demons gave him superpower strength, where he was literally breaking every chain that was in front of him. You see, before one has an experience with Jesus, they're bound. But what is Jesus there to do on this day? He is there to bring deliverance. Are we still here?
Amen.
Not just that. Where is this guy? Is he living in a house? Is he living in the town? Is he in the community? Absolutely not. He's in the tombs. He's in the local cemetery. And the locals, they want absolutely nothing to do with this guy. You see, the bad, it leads them out into this situation where he is a terror, not just to society, but to himself. Later on, the account will say that the man is in his right mind, which means at the beginning, he's in a wrong mind. Wrong, as in dominated by the demons and the things of darkness, which puts him in a dark mindset. Now let's throw in one more. This man is alone. There is nobody in the community anywhere near this guy. So what do we see? A guy they want to bind, but they can't. Because the demons got him so bound, they can't bind him. A man who is no longer living at home, he's in the tombs. A man who is out of his mind, crazy. A man who is alone. A man, as the word describes, with an unclean spirit. What happens? Verse 6. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him and cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, you Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that you torment me not." Here is the man who they could not bind. Here is a man who was out of his mind. Here is a man separated from his community. Here is a man in the tombs, in the dark and horrible place. Yet here comes Jesus. Does Jesus have to lift a finger to control the man? Does Jesus tell his 12 assistants, six of you grab one arm, six of you grab the other, and hold them back while we pray for him? Absolutely not. Jesus just walks into the area. And what happens? The guy begins to grovel, basically. What? Worship Him is the first word. Because even demons have to bow at the feet of Jesus. We're talking about a power that Jesus has, where He does not have to overpower the man with all the demons. All He has to do is say the word, and they'll flee. Even His very presence, they begin to worship and they begin to beg, because Jesus has a power that we cannot even imagine. And this Jesus said, what? I will come to you. Do you think Jesus came to us powerless? Absolutely not. I will leave you what? He didn't say without a helper. Jesus said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will leave you with help. Jesus, through the Holy Spirit inside of us, will help us stand in any situation, especially like this, where we do not have to rely on our own ability to grab control of the situation. The Spirit of the living God will take control of the situation. Are we still here? Hallelujah. Jesus, what did He do? Come out of the man, you unclean spirit. For the sake of time, we're going to move ahead a little bit. Here, Jesus, does He do anything beyond speaking the word to drive out this demon? Absolutely not. Why? Because the demons fear and tremble at the name of Jesus. They fear and tremble because He has such a power that they cannot overcome. The demons, they negotiated the terms of their exit. But they did exit. Why? Because they had no choice. Now let's look at the man. When Jesus arrived, when the boat was pulling into the pier, he was demon-possessed, not in his right mind, living in tombs. He was alone, separate from society. He was crazy. He was demon-possessed. This man had no way to change himself. Yet here comes Jesus. And what does He do? One simple line. Come out. And they did. Now, what happened? Look at the complete and total change in the man. One, we see what? Verse 15. And they, the townspeople, came to Jesus to see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion, sitting, clothed, and in his right mind. A man who was out of control. A man whom they could not bind is now sitting calmly in total control. Not just that. In his right mind. I know a Jesus who can change your mindset. There are so many. They're out of their minds. Well, guess what? I know a Jesus that can put you back in your right mind. Are we together on this? So we see it change from what? Let's start with the obvious one. Bound by the devils. delivered from the devils. You see, when a Holy Ghost lifestyle is around, the devils are going to have to flee. We have the Spirit inside of us. We follow the lead and the guiding of the Spirit. And when we do that, the demons will have to flee. Why? Jesus gave us that authority. The man, he was completely naked. Now he is fully clothed. He was out of his mind. Now he's in his right mind. Let's keep going. Verse 18. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit, Jesus suffered or did not allow this, but said unto him, go home. Hold. Where was this man earlier? He was in the tombs. Now what did Jesus say? Go home. You see, when we have an encounter with Jesus, when we have the Holy Ghost, we will leave the tombs, the place of death, the place of despair and sorrow. And where will we go? Home. For this man, back to the Gadarenes. For us in the spiritual, we'll prepare a place for you. We will be home with Jesus as well. One other thing. What did he say? Your friends. What did we establish a few minutes ago? The guy was alone. No one, not even his friends, wanted anything to do with him. His family, they disowned him. He is just the guy in the local cemetery being crazy, out of control, harmful and hurtful. Now, after his encounter with Jesus, what do we see? He went from being alone to being with his family and friends once more. Now let me add one more. What was his testimony prior to Jesus? He's the crazy guy in the tombs. The guy we tried to bind, but he breaks all the chains and turns them into nothing. He's the guy who once had family and friends, who was once a pillar in our community, but now he's an outcast. His friends don't want anything to do with him. We want him completely away from us. Separated. That was his testimony. Now, what is his testimony? I met a man named Jesus. When I met Jesus, I was out of my mind. I was a chain breaker, breaking them all over the place. I was a menace to society. No one wanted anything to do with me. But now that I met Jesus, He cast those demons out of me. And now I'm in my right mind. Now I no longer live in the tombs. I'm back at home. I am no longer abandoned by the community. I am back in this community as a pillar of it because of what Jesus did. You see, when we follow after the Spirit, what's going to happen? We're going to be delivered. We're going to be restored to our homes. We're going to be what? In our right mind. We're going to be witnesses. We are going to have spiritual, godly friends. And let me add one more. The demon spirit will be replaced by the Holy Spirit. Are we still here? Tonight, you see, change. When the Spirit gets involved, there will be change. one more account. This will be the woman with the issue of blood. We know her account. For 12 years, this woman, she had this issue of blood. She went from doctor to doctor to doctor to doctor. She only grew worse. You can say that her eyes were on the doctors, that she was in despair. The money was gone, but the prescription stayed. The money was gone, but the condition grew worse. Despair? Absolutely. Passive? Definitely. What does he mean by that? No reason to live. Depressed. Doubt. This will never change. But then the woman heard about Jesus. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. She heard the Word of God about Jesus. Now what do we see? What do we see? You see, Jesus is the Son of God, operating in Holy Ghost power, bringing something that community had never seen before. The woman, no doubt she's heard the testimonies. And for the first time, her mindset changes. Instead of having her eyes on the doctors, instead of having her eyes on the condition, she had her eyes on the Son of God who had the Holy Ghost operating in his life. Instead of being in despair, when she heard about the Son of God who had the Holy Ghost operating in her life, now she's beginning to have something she did not have before. And that is hope. So her eyes, they're on Jesus. Her hope is now in Jesus. So what do we see? We mentioned earlier the woman was passive. I don't want to be seen in public. Everyone will just talk about me. That's the poor woman. 12 years ago, she was the life of the party. Now, well, you know, because of that sickness, she's no longer who she was. Now what do we see? You see, when one has an encounter with Jesus, when one wants to be with Jesus, the one who has the Holy Ghost, what happens? Now she's determined. Nothing is going to stop her from getting to Jesus. Peter said, what about the crowd? They're thronging you. There are so many people here. Peter couldn't even understand how anyone can get through the crowd. I can. The woman was determined. Get out of my way. Move. I want to get to Jesus. Get out of my way. I want to get there. And she fought her way to Jesus. You see, when the Holy Spirit is moving, people will fight their way to get to Jesus. Oh, the crowd was there. They were watching all of this, but not in faith, not in determination, not with hope, not with their eyes squarely on Jesus. That's why the woman could be determined. She knew where she was going. She fought that crowd to get there. We want to see the wonderful things of God. So do we. And we have a determination to get to the one that we are looking at. Because he's the one with the answer to our problems. Why? Oh, why could she do this? Because she wanted to be healed. And she went to Jesus. And she touched the hem of his garment. Faith. Faith. Now, let's apply all of this. We are believers in Jesus, right? We have something this woman does not have. What's that? I will not leave you. We have someone inside of us, Jesus, through the Holy Spirit. This Jesus is inside of us. And because this Jesus is inside of us, we can be calm in the midst of the storms of life. We can be at peace when everyone is in a state of panic. We can be delivered when everyone thinks we should be bound. We could be at home in peace, fellowshipping with believers. And by the way, in the spiritual sense, let me add something. Where is the home of the believers right now in this church age? The church. Are we getting this? The church. You see, everything that we're seeing here tonight, we have this Holy Spirit inside of us. And because we have this Holy Spirit inside of us, we can live overcoming, victorious lives. Now, does that mean that the storms will not come our way? Absolutely not. What it does mean, however, is when we begin to rely on the Holy Ghost inside of us, given to us by Jesus, when we begin to rely on the Spirit, we can stand against the storm. We can be at calm in any situation. The storm, the demon guy, the woman with the issue of blood. We can be calm. We can be at peace. And we can let the Spirit solve the situation. What's our part? Just doing what the Spirit tells us to do. You see, it's easy to say, well, the woman on her own, she thought about this. Why does one come to Jesus? Because the Spirit leads. This woman didn't realize that she was already being led by the Spirit to come to Jesus. No one can come unless they are drawn. And this woman is drawn. Why? Because the Spirit is drawing her to the one that will make her whole. The Spirit is going to be the vital key to everything. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. I will abide with you forever. With that in the back of our mind, we should be at peace and then allow the Spirit, the living water, to flow out, who will bring a solution to all of our problems. Let's stand across the church tonight. Hallelujah.